Okay, you've been over the top, gone one-on-one. You've been to hell, and you made it back alive. Now it's time for the ultimate challenge. It's time for Spinal Awareness Week.
With me today, I have William Van Wiel, chairperson of...
Chairman!
I'm terribly sorry. Chairman of the Australian Extremist Organisation, called AEO. Excuse me, William, what initiatives are you launching here today?
Well, we are totally against people with any sort of disability.
Oh.
We seem to go on the ideas that people were put on this earth to look perfect, not to be in the wheelchair, yeah?
And does that take, you know, in account of people who can't hear and blind people and things like that?
All sorts of disabilities are involved, but especially people in the wheelchair.
Especially people in chairs. I see. And how do you justify your views?
It goes back years ago. Years. God, he wanted it that way. It's all in the Bible. You must read it.
Which bits of the Bible? Excuse me.
People weren't in wheelchairs years ago. Were they hundreds of years ago?
But wasn't the wheel invented by a caveman? Because
that was to get around.
Yes, in a wheelchair. I'm sure.
To perambulate.
Ah.
Not people in wheelchairs. Why have imperfect people?
That is what I hope that we may discover today in this interview. So, how many members have you in your organisation?
Currently, we have an estimate of about 1,000 people. And we are hoping today to recruit some new members.
Is that 1,000 people just in Australia?
Yes, that is Australia. We are only Australia-wide so far. But we are looking for in the future of getting some overseas members as well.
I see. And Mr. Van Wiel, how often does your organisation meet?
We meet currently every week. 2 meetings every month. No.
No, I've read you got that a little bit mixed up. I think...
1 meeting every week. Yes. That is it. On Wednesday night, we have 2-hour meeting, but that is, of course, with the board members. We can't always get together with the associate members.
I see. And excuse me, surely the average person isn't going to agree with your views? How do you...
Well, this is why we are here today. We are here to voice our opinions and to hopefully change some minds of a few people. I mean, it has to be that way.
It has to be, are you?
Of course, I mean, I justify it, of course I do.
Right, but...
I think they all should either be put in one area in the country, like out in the middle of somewhere.
Auschwitz.
Or Auschwitz, the Australian Auschwitz, yeah!
Well, yes, you have every right to your opinion. Don't you think that the disabled have some rights, though?
Yes, they have one right. And that is to all be living together in somewhere like the camp you suggest. Out in Alice Springs somewhere maybe, yeah? Or maybe not in the country. Ship them all to Tasmania. Gas them.
Maybe they could gas them on the way over. Is that what you're advocating, on the boat? Or not? Or do you think you'd like to treat them humanely? Or what's,
are subhuman, yeah?
I see. But shouldn't you have some empathy for the disabled community?
No, how does they get there? Is they born like this, or...?
Well, actually, some people have been born that way, but some people have accidents.
Oh, that is their fate.
And
they have to live with that, and why should I?
Do you think you yourself are perfect? In every way.
Perfect in a sense, yeah. You know, we all have our little mistakes and But yes, yes, we are. We are the perfect people. We are the Aryans.
Oh, I see now. So what do you think makes a good recruit for the Australian extremist organization?
Somebody who has same ideals as me, who would like to see a peaceful, happy country.
Right.
And to not have these other little problems of access and silly problems. We should just get on with life.
So you're saying that you'd like to see a happy country, but you don't want anyone else to see a happy country.
I didn't say that.
You didn't say
that? I didn't say that. I say happy for everyone. You're not hearing me, man.
Could you remove your hands from my throat?
Oh, excuse me.
Thank you. And how can people join your organization? Like today you're launching all these...
We have an initiation period.
Oh, I see. And
Not everybody can come straight in. We have to make sure they have the same ideals, the same views, the same everything as us.
And what about the accent? The same accent?
So mine is I've been working on this one for years. I don't expect everyone's to be as good, but there must be some element of foreignness about it.
Mr. Van Wiel, I'd like to ask you about some of the issues.
You can call me William if you like.
Okay, Bill. I'd like to
William.
I'm sorry. I'd like to ask you some questions about some particular items of interest that our listeners would perhaps find very interesting. What do you think about the taxi service for people with disabilities?
Well, I know they are complaining about it. I don't see a problem. What is wrong with waiting 1 hour or 2 hours to get home, yeah? As a matter of fact, I do not think it should be there.
So you're adamant about that? No.
Adamant? What is this Adam Ant? Is he not a rock star, yeah?
Yes. Well, no. What
adamant.
What I actually mean...
Adam Ant.
William, what I actually mean is you saying that people with disabilities should stay at home. Is that right?
Yes. Why have a taxi service? I realize now they do inconvenience the disabled by something like 1 or 2 hours, yeah, but they should not exist. Why have it? I mean, then they don't need to go out. I mean, they're then mingling with people like me.
I see, and you don't want to be associated with
Why this? Should I?
Maybe it may do you good, do you think?
You are starting to annoy me now. You are purposely putting questions to me to get my attention up, to get me aroused somewhat, and I'm not taking kindly to this.
And what will you do?
There is nothing. I have to finish this interview now. I'm pulling the mic off. I've had it. You are sympathetic towards the cause of the disabled, and that is it. I finished the interview. Thank you. I'm sorry, but that is it. No more. I've had it. You stop it, and if you play this, I will sue your pants off. Thank you, goodbye.
Okay. Goodbye. I've just been handed a news item, yeah. I'd just like to read it out to you. It's about that notorious man, William Van Wheels. Okay, here it goes. I'll read it out to you. William Van Wheels, the notorious chairperson of the Australian Extremist Organisation. You might remember that we actually talked about them last week, the AEO. Anyway, he was arrested on suspicion of masterminding a series of vicious sick attacks on two separate disabled institutions, the Association for the Blind and a sheltered workshop for the physical and intellectually marginalised persons. Anyway, here we go. Some of the acts at the Blind Association were to rearranging of the furniture with intent to cause grievous bodily harm, vandalizing the Braille learning exam papers by continuously jabbing a knitting needle through the papers. And here's one. And a tasteless act of swapping the salt for the sugar in the cafe bar machine in the tea room. If it's true, if William Van Wheeler did this, I'd be very worried for my life. Anyway, oh, and here's some more. At the workshop, he's alleged to have mixed all the red bottle tops with the yellow bottle tops. This is expected to cause huge delays in filling out the orders, and is also expected to cause the organisation to lose tens of dollars. Right. Actually, earlier on the day, I received a press release from our friend. Well, I don't know if he's our friend. He might be your friend, William Van Wheels. And here it is, actually, right now.
Yes, I am guilty of these charges. I did do it. I can't believe you're arresting me for it. Are you sympathetic to the cause of the disabled? I did this for a statement. This is done to show the uselessness of these people. I mean, rearranging a sitting in a blind institution, that's done to give these people a new direction in life. Literally. I mean, there's no harm. I'm not there to hurt them. I'm giving them something to do in life. I mean, this is done. I mean, what is wrong with that? I mean, bottle tops in a workshop. I mean, that is, what is so harmful about that? I mean, I put them all together. These people are used to, you know, sticking red bottle tops on green bottles and yellow bottle tops on the red bottles. And was that a soft drink? I don't know. I mean, that's useless. Gives them something better to do. I put them all together. I get confused. Good. That's it. Yeah. I mean, I'm gone. Take me away. I'm getting my lawyers. I will be back out soon, and I will be making more statements and blowing up the more organizations. Thank you.
Goodness me, what? Well, what a man. I don't know if we could even call him that. I just hope that, well, justice will be seen to be done with this man, William Van Wheels.
Is your incontinence affecting your machismo? Are you embarrassed when asked the all-important question, what size do you take? Now, with the new range of testosterone, urodomes and condoms, the size of yours need never embarrass you again. The testosterone range is color-coded, so every size is extra large. So, next time someone asks you, what size, you can just smile and say, extra large, and make it a red one.
Great urodomes, those. I can't wait for the ones that glow in the dark.
Is your disability making you feel physically inferior? Are you sick of losing that gal to that sand-kicking scumbag? No push-ups on your knuckles, no wearing daggy clothes. Just try the all-new Word Kung Fu with answers like these.
Get away from me!
And?
Get the noose from around my neck before I die!
Yes, gain the upper hand. Use the upper octaves. Leave them with the bad impression and you with the good time. Try the all-new Word Kung Fu.
And now we cross to Freedom Bound's intrepid cub reporter, Tiger Jones, for an on-the-spot update.
Today I'm here talking to Normal Percion. Say hello, Norm.
Hi.
So, Norm, tell us exactly what do you have wrong with you?
Well, nothing really.
Nothing? No missing limbs?
No.
Not confined to a wheelchair?
No.
No speech impediments?
No.
No brain damage?
No.
No congenital disorders?
No.
Psychiatric problem?
No.
Nothing hereditary?
No.
Eyesight diminished?
No.
What about a slight heart disorder?
No. I can't say there's anything wrong with me. Actually, I did have a migraine the other week.
A bloody headache? I'm talking chronic conditions. support services, surgical supplies, accessibility, acceptability, and you're whinging about a bloody headache. So the fact remains, you have no disabilities whatsoever.
No.
So what the hell are you doing on this show? This is Freedom Bound, radio without barriers.
I'm the maintenance man. I've come to fix a window.
Oh yeah. It's that window over there. Well, that was Normal Percion, our maintenance man. The man with nothing wrong with him. Well, back to the studio.
Warwick's got some good ideas for next year, actually, to cheer a few of you people that probably aren't even in wheelchairs yet, but will be.
Yes, we'll be running courses next year, how to stuff turkeys with mouth sticks, and also how to reboil a ham, for those of you that have never done it before.
And what about your revolutionary ideas of what the government should do for each wheelie that we were just discussing? Walk, talk.
Oh, yes, well, proposals in front of the government now. If ever a socialite marriage should break up, which, of course, is a shame for all of us, like Susan Sangster, Renouf Peacock, whatever.
Cripple.
Her estate should be donated to the Housing Commission to provide housing for people with disabilities.
And only one person.
Yes, one person per house, preferably...
Per hectare, do you think? Well, the house would probably be bigger than a hectare, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Well, it's enough from you. Thanks very much, Warwick.
Thank you.
The man that needs no introduction.
And now, for your enjoyment, a break.
Are you sick of hearing that?
Oh, can you push me up this ramp here?
Oh.
Excuse me, can you help me up the stairs? Go to the shop for me, get me a drink of water, help me with my leg bag, cook me some dinner and help me into bed.
Oh, shut up. Now with the new ejector chair, that disabled person in your life need not get on your nerves again. With one simple push of a button, that cripple will be sent hurtling, never to be seen, well, for at least 30 minutes. So next time their disability gets on your nerves, just remember, one push of the button, that'll stuff them. Ejector chair comes complete with a first aid kit for that mangled landing. Ejector chair, available from all leading hospitals, butchers, shoe stores, newsagents, chemists, corner stores, milk bars, takeaways, health food stores.
Right.
Merry Christmas, baby Jesus. We hope you get lots of gifts. Merry Christmas, baby Jesus. We hope you like the crips. The
Merry
crips.
Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, baby Jesus.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Baby
Merry
Christmas. Jesus.
To all you disabled out there, may you have a wonderful Christmas.
Baby Jesus.
And I hope life treats you real good.
Merry,
in
merry,
the future.
Merry, 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 merry Christmas,
son,
the king is here.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Lifestyles of the Disabled and Destitute. I'm a little leech and come with me now as we go into the squalor of one-time nobody and now exclusive member of the underclass, Abby Normal. Abby Normal first acquired his point of no position in society after a horrific accident with an exploding cream bun. So come with me now as we take a walk through Mr. Normal's one-bedroom housing commission apartment, a dump as he affectionately calls it. So as we enter the lounge room and notice a lack of material possessions, it becomes more apparent of Mr. Normal's loss of touch with society, a legacy he suspects due to his current economic situation, the invalid pension. Abnormal comments.
Well, like, what do they mean here with this word, like, invalid pension? You know, invalid. What do they mean here, like, a non-person or something? Someone who, like, doesn't participate in life? I think they should change the name, man, like, something to, like, the fortunate to be alive after such a horrific accident pension.
Well said, Mr. Normal. So, let's cruise into the kitchen where we see a 1960s-style fridge with the door half of its hinges stocked solid with home-brewed beer, which Abby assures us, with a toothless smile and a few words of which I can't repeat on this program, it's 20% proof. Well done, Abby. So, from here it's into the bedroom where we discover a very basic setup consisting of a single bed, half a wardrobe, and a well-used blow-up doll, and Abby's private collection of house bricks, of which he hopes to one day build his own one-bedroom apartment. Keeps driving, Abby Normal. What a man, what a character, what a flat. Well, that just about wraps up another edition of Lifestyles of the Disabled and Destitute. Thanks for listening, and I'll look forward to frustrating your eardrums as I whine on like this again next time.
Hello, disabled world, and welcome to this week's on-air workshop. Today, didgeridoos for the disabled. And if you'll remember from last week's on-air workshop, we told you you don't need a real didgeridoo. You can just use clad wrap, containers, rolls, or, as our instructor Mark is using, say hello, Mark.
Hello there.
Hello. That was Mark, yes. He's using a toilet roll. And take it away, Mark.
And this is me. Oh, sorry, I'll come in with later. Okay, Mark, take it away.
Yes, trippers. Yes, trippers. I mean, we've all having a bad trip, and today, particularly in the sweltering conditions, I find that there's few better things to do than to actually go out to the old Thunderbox and sit in there and grab your toilet roll and I mean there's nothing better to do than to get your bowel movement happening than to actually pick
what
up the toilet roll.
What about the didgeridoo playing, Mister?
And play and didgeridoo through the toilet roll. So
oh,
here
thank
we go.
You.
Here's
okay.
An example of didgeridoo through a toilet roll.
Yes, people, that is the didgeridoo.
Yes, but excuse me, mister. I've got a disability and I want to play the didgeridoo, so how do I hold my mouth? What well, do I do with my mouth,
the
mister?
Essence of it is pressing the rim against your mouth.
Okay.
Creating
yes.
a seal.
Yes, it's there. It's a seal.
Not
yes.
pressing it too tightly against your mouth.
Yes, I see. Yes.
Loose enough so that your lips can flop around.
Right, right.
And,
yeah, yeah.
Like normal, Dave.
Okay, like this.
And then... That's close, except you seem to be blowing into the drainage pipe there, Dave.
Oh, sorry, I'll grab my didgeridoo. Here goes. You ready?
Yes, that's... Tilt it more to the side.
Okay, here goes.
It's a big blowy. Blowy.
What was wrong there, sir?
Nothing really. Didgeridoo can be played without hands.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And all you need to do is really put the other end of the didgeridoo up against a corner of the sink basin or
okay.
something like that.
Here goes.
And press it against your mouth. And.
And so, Mark, for all our would-be didgeridoo players out there, is there any
or
special way they
didgeridoo
hold it?
Players.
Or do they just put it to their lips and blow? How do we get past that one?
That's essentially the secret. You put it to your lips and blow. It's a very summary thing to do, and it helps to have sweltering
like this
heat and flies and of course a thunderbox.
I don't think I've got that together, Mr. Man.
Okay. Well, you keep practicing, and on next week's On Air Workshop, we'll teach you how to construct box girder bridges from mouth sticks. Okay, bye for now.
Do you ever find yourself in this position? Having trouble? Yeah, try one of these. They work for me.
Okay, thanks.
Megalax always gets results.
Welcome to tonight's International Dramatic Arts Studio Radio Drama, presented by the Fruit Loop Troupe. Tonight's play takes us into the seedy underworld of beautiful women, tough detectives, and shady police. This is Sam Marlowe and the Case of the Missing Scotch.
I woke up in an alley. Neon light played a tattoo on the thundering headache that Zelda Suggs, Tiny Jones, and Nice McCurk had beaten into my trench coated body. Fortunately, they hadn't broken my emergency hip flask, so I said good morning to the scalding warmth of Jack Daniels as I gulped it down in my bruised throat. So my alimony payments were overdue again, and my ex-wife Zelda...
No excuses, Sam.
Wasn't taking any excuses. Not this month, anyway.
No excuses, Sam.
Everything ached, even my brown fedora hat. I was crawling around in the trash looking for a pawn ticket when I heard a goddess approaching.
Yes, you. Are you Marlowe? Sam Marlowe?
Yeah, doll. At your service.
Your secretary said I might find you here under the fire escape.
I got to my feet and looked into her smoky brown eyes. She was built like a 65 Cadillac with all the chrome and rounder bits in just the right places.
I need you, Sam.
She tossed me a lazy smile and put her heavily bejeweled hand on my arm. My engine went into overdrive. And I said, I need a coffee, baby. It's gonna be a long, long night. Minutes later, we were hunched over steaming coffee cups in a nearby cheap cafe. She told me her story. Seems like I've heard it before from 100 different dames looking for 100 different husbands.
It's my Roger, Sam. He's missing.
She sobbed silkily into a dainty tissue plucked from between her magnificent bosoms. How long has he been missing? I asked.
6 years.
6 years? Now you start looking? I was starting in on my third coffee. My ribs hurt, eyes felt like sandpaper. I needed a shot of Ruck Gut, and I still couldn't find that pawn ticket. But I was back to normal.
Been concentrating on my career, Sam. Surely you've heard of me. Ecstasy Smith, the singing sensation. But I've missed him, Sam. I really have.
She slipped me a photo of her ex from between her magnificent bosoms. I found the steam off it, but before I could take a look, there was a familiar voice in my ear.
I take that, Marlowe.
I didn't have to look. It was one of those thugs from the alley. Tiny Jones, ex-wrestler and dimwit.
That right, Marlowe. That's Harry.
This time, surprise was on my side. As I drilled lefts and rights into Tiny's massive chin and dealt the same to McCurk before he could get to the knives in his pockets.
Oh, Sam! You're so virile.
Just then, my two-way wrist radio rang. Yes, I know, every time Dick and Harry's got them. It was Paula, my girl Friday, and sometimes Saturday.
Morning, Sam. I've got Police Chief Harris Upwards on the line for you. But, Sam...
Yeah, baby?
When you gonna pay me, Sam? It's been 2 months, Sam.
Don't take this case, Marlowe. That's an order.
I turned to ecstasy and took a quick slug of my energy Jack Daniels. Ecstasy, honey, I told her. I've got a lead on your case, but I'll need a little something in advance.
Sure, honey, I understand.
She purred up to my face and kissed me like a velvet vacuum cleaner. After my breath and sigh return, I gasped. No, honey. Money. I mean $100 a day, plus expenses, though. Again, her hand dived in between her magnificent bosoms to reveal a little Arden purse. Alarm bells rang in my head. Zelda always wore Arden. My wrist radio jangled again.
Marlowe, you there, Marlowe? Don't take this case, Marlowe, and that's an order.
The wrist radio went dead. Roger, over and out, I said. She was in my face again, promising everything.
Sam, baby, I'll read your palm. I'll cook you banana custard. I'll do anything, Sam.
Chocolate crackles?
Oh, yes, Sam.
Tiny Jones began to stir at my feet, so I took a quick jog in his forehead. Crumpet?
Yeah, muffins and cherry jam if you really want it. Oh, Sam. 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 Oh, Sam. Sam. Sam.
I pocketed the carefully folded steam-pressed $300 from her purse and slipped it in next to the Jack Daniels in case of a real emergency. The wrist radio jangled again. Paula, baby, I began into the wrist radio.
Shut up, Marlowe. Did he naps? Nolan. You remember me, Marlowe? The guy you said to Sing Sing?
Yeah, Nolan, you crime boss scumbag. If you harm one hair of my Paula's... Before I could get any further, there was an evil chuckle at Nell's end.
She coming with me, Marlowe. You... Jack, keep that nose of your coin. Don't take the case and turn away from a fancy nightclubs if you want to stay healthy.
He rang off. Ecstasy was hard up against me again as the wrist radio went dead. Her perfume was delicious and the tom-toms in my head was nothing compared to the pearl handle 32. She shoved into my trench coat of ribs. She looked tough. I like that in a dame. Sentimental old P.I. that I am. So I took the gun off her and shoved it in next to the Jack Daniels. The picture of Roger, the Arden purse, and Viola. The pawn ticket. I kissed her lightly on the lips. Only Monroe had a mouth like that. Baby, I said, let's go rat catching.
You have been listening to part one of Sam Marlowe,
brought to you by the International Dramatic Arts Studio. Well, and now a word from our sponsor.
Are you tired of groping around the house? Want to have some fun? Get out and meet people and win an Oscar for a brilliant acting performance? Don't delay a moment longer. Pick up the phone right now and call 713-4497. That's right, 713-4497. Hollywood Dave Smythe is standing by to take your call.
And now for the man that needs no introduction.
Hi, and I've got a letter here from Carol. Carol used to be an abattoir worker, but after a nasty accident had to have four limbs amputated. And Carol wrote in, she wanted to ring, but due to a nasty accident where a bit of building debris fell on her, making her a C2 quad and thus unable to talk. But Carol wrote in anyway to say that she listens to Freedom Bound every week and to make sure that everyone knows about Spinal Awareness Week. Good on you, Carol, a big hello to you. And you're the winner of this week's special Freedom Bound prize, a stack hat. And I suggest you use it too, Carol.
Freedom Bound begins in 7.2.
Hello, programmer.
Sorry about that. We'd just like to say hello to you.
Thanks very much for putting us on for an extra few minutes.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Miss Miz. Oh, I can't be sure. Ring us up, Miss Miz programmer. Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, okay.
Let's get off, Dave. I think it's time for our show to finish.
You sure? Okay.
What are you doing now, mate?
I'm just going to talk like this for a little bit longer.
Talk like this for a little and fade out for a little while. Yeah, just come back in again for a little while longer.
Little bit softer down, now, a little bit louder now, a little down. Really go up, up, down.
Rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb.
I think we'll go.
Bye.